This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
And normally on Fridays, we do a roundtable. We're going to do one tomorrow as well. But with college football really starting tonight, let's do another roundtable and let's really Clemson up this joint, shall we? The Gramlich and McLean podcast, which is 198 episodes in. If you're watching on TV, you see the headline act there, Kelly Gramlich, a Clemson, two-time Clemson grad, not just the one-time Clemson grad. Thanks for flexing on us. And Eric McLean is also joining us. He played at Clemson for Dabo Swinney. He just had Dabo on. This is like the second time you've had Dabo on like the last 2 months. So my guess is, Kelly, that you guys all think Clemson's going to run roughshod over the league again.
Well, first of all, thanks for having us, Adam. The last time Dabo Swinney came on our podcast, he came on and we're talking to him before we start recording. And he goes, oh, you guys have a podcast. And we said, Coach, you've been on it before. So to say he's been on it twice, he didn't really realize he had been on it twice. So it's not too exciting for us in that regard. But we actually both, and I know Mac will jump in here, we did both pick Clemson to win the league, but it was very difficult. And for me, it came down to that Clemson NC State game and the location. Last year, I was in the stands in that game in Raleigh, just there as a fan. It was a great game. It was hot as heck. It was crazy. But the difference with this game being in Death Valley is that Clemson hasn't lost a game in Death Valley since 2016. It's really hard for me to think NC State can go in there and win. But it was that close of a decision for me. And that's what it came down to.
Do you agree with that, Eric?
Yeah, AG, first of all, thanks again for having us. A little round table, making this happen. We've been trying for like 4 weeks, and finally you decided to go off the wall and add an extra day for me, so I'm eternally grateful for that. But yeah, I think when you look at this Clemson team, man, it just, after seeing them in person, I haven't seen a defense, you know, like that before. And the speed and the depth and the athleticism that those guys have, I mean, it's looking a lot like 2018 mixed with 2014 when you talk about star power and depth. And for those who don't remember, Clemson has like five defensive linemen from that 2014 team. They're still playing right now in the NFL. So there's a lot of talent, man. There's a lot of speed. And, I think ultimately that's what is going to help this Tiger team, get back to the ACC championship.
I would point out that Clemson would have a home loss if Kyle Bambard could have made it. I'm just going to throw that out there.
It's true, right?
So if Bambard could have made a field goal, sorry about that, NC State fans. Like, is there a comparison to make? And I'll start with you on this one, Eric. Between Clemson and NC State, to whatever degree, in that both teams are going to be driven on the defensive side of the ball. But there is great potential also on the offensive side of the ball. Are they similar in that way?
I certainly think you feel a lot better about NC State as a whole, right? Like when you look at all three phases, and I've said this for a couple years now, it feels like that they are just a complete team, man, that play at a very high level, that execute and complement each other very well. They're not putting each other in adverse situations, whether it's with turnovers or poor field position, things like that. And so I think that's why, there's a lot of excitement for those guys and a lot of hype, that fortunately enough, we get to see kickoff this weekend and, see the steps necessarily taken for them. With Clemson, it's just probably too much unknown at the quarterback position still. How much better has he gotten? And we have to wait a little bit for that as Clemson doesn't play till Monday. But defensively, both are going to be elite, and that's about as far as the comparison goes. Like Clemson, it's going to be all up front and at least to start and what gets your attention and, the dominance that they're going to be able to play with on that defensive line. For NC State, it's more of the back eight, right? Those guys are, some of the best linebackers, if not the best linebacking core in the country. They've got a lot of nice veterans that are some coming back from injury, some that are, back for a fifth, sixth year in the secondary that, man, you get really excited about. So although I think both are going to end up in the top 10 at the end of the season, They are going to do it very differently defensively.
Well, and let's be honest here, Adam, and I think Mac would agree, if you listen to our podcast, watch on YouTube, you would see that. I was much closer to picking NC State, I believe, than Mac was, just because I think that, and Mac still thinks this, okay, but the quarterback position to me is just a game changer in many respects, as it has been in college football, but I think it's been highlighted over the last 10 years, how important a quarterback is. And if you're looking at Devin Leary versus DJ Uiagalelei, I think you'd take Devin Leary every single time, at least from what we know going into this season. The main thing that I love about Devin Leary is that he takes care of the football. 5 interceptions last year. In some of those Clemson losses, DJU picks were part of the reason, if not the reason for the loss. You think of the pick six against Georgia. You think of the pitch six, whatever that was, against Pittsburgh. Those were issues. And Devin Leary just flat out doesn't turn the ball over. So I think that's a big thing for Devin Leary. My main question for NC State guys going into this season is the running game. Last year, the running game sputtered at times, and they lost their 2 main backs. And Ike Ekwonu, of course, who was a massive part of that run game. So can they be a little more consistent running the ball? I think that's going to help them go farther than they did last year.
All right, we're going to get back to State because they're going to East Carolina in the opener. But we found a new quarterback. As though the ACC needed any more good quarterbacks, we found a new one with North Carolina's Drake May. Now, they are going into a very difficult place to play at App State. But, Kelly, I know you guys talked about it already on episode 197. So talk to me about what you thought of Drake May and his debut for the Tar Heels.
Adam, you're listening, man. We love that. You've done your research here.
Hey, I'm a fan. I'm a personal fan of both. So
that's amazing. So, I mean, Drake May was excellent in his first start. And Eric McClain has been singing Drake May's praises, I think, since the day Drake May was born. If you go that far back, I'm not sure we have proof, but Mac has been obsessed with Drake May from the jump. And obviously it's proved to be correct. And he just looked so poised. He looked so natural in the pocket. I thought his pocket awareness was great. I know it was FAMU, but he has those things where you watch him play and you think that's a high-level quarterback. I thought he was more mobile than I expected, which I think is great considering what UNC did with Sam Howell last year. And this O-line hopefully is improved. The young running backs look really good. So I think Drake May is a rising star. My biggest concern for UNC is not, it has nothing to do with Drake May. It has everything to do with their defense. Going to App State, a team that can run the ball, that has a very experienced quarterback in Chase Bryce. We gave our picks for that game, and that episode will come out tomorrow. That game scares Mac and I both to our core. And I think it should probably scare UNC fans too.
I agree. Yeah. 100% agree.
And KG, just to go back on quarterback play for a second, I think, you know, just seeing that young man in person and the things that he did do in an extremely, you know, limited opportunity a year ago, he just looked different, right? Everything was so effortless to him. He the game came so natural. And when we were at practice, that's what I saw. I saw consistency. I saw him, the ability to, you know, make every throw. His decision-making was extremely impressive. And then in the game, all of that was just, you know, really magnified. And, you know, he's spreading the ball around. Obviously, you want to get Josh Downs the ball as much as you can. And I'm not sure if it's come out yet or not, if he's 100% full go for App State. But, you know, he did a great job distributing that rock to everybody. I mean, literally looked like a point guard on the football field. I mean, he's getting the ball to tight ends. He's getting it to you know, slot wide receivers, outside, running backs, all the different things that, you know, people ask, you know, this entire week, well, what can you really learn from that game? Listen, if he was just throwing, you know, trick passes, flea flicker, double reverse pass, guys are wide open, then I'd be like, okay, let's pump the brakes. He was methodically, AG, going through his reads, 1-2-3 check down, 1-2-3 extend the play, hit a big shot down the field, ride this RPO, hit my tight end over the middle, identify corner cat, get it to the hot route. It was very impressive to see how he went about his business, and then throwing the fact that he did it, you know, 5 times for 6 points was just uber impressive.
Yeah, he was great. He made tons of great throws. Like every quarterback has to be athletic these days, the way they run offenses. But I think it surprised a lot of people that was a designed run in the first quarter that kind of got their offense going. Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, let's say I have more than $1 million balance in my 401k.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. How can that actually come back and bite me?
Well, because, and this is a thing that we it's a mirage. You see mirages. I've ridden in the desert before. You see what's water ahead, but it's not there. Well, your financial mirage is thinking that that total balance in your 401k or your IRA is yours. We have two people that want to get a hold of it, two uncles, Uncle North Carolina and Uncle Sam.
Right.
Both of them are going to do some damage to that balance. Depending on what kind of other income you have, you could lose 40% of your value. So if you're looking at $1 million IRA, maybe it's only worth $600,000 to you. So how do we get around this? Well, you don't get around it because you end up in jail if you try to do that.
But
you can do tax planning to minimize the effect of taxation into the future. The tax train is coming, Adam. We need to make sure to minimize the effect of the derailment of our financial accounts. And for the next 10 people, we'll do it at no cost or obligation. Put together your very own tax and retirement plan.
800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. It's the Gramlich and McLean podcast. Episode 199 is next. I'm curious, before I get to NC State at East Carolina, do you have something special planned for episode 200?
Mac and I need to work on that, okay? There is no busier human being in the world than Eric McLean. He's up in Connecticut. He's going to be working all weekend. So we'll just say stay tuned for what's coming with that episode. But I can guarantee you it's going to come out on Monday. And that's all I can really tell you.
It's just work. It's
that's
not
a Gramlich guarantee right there. Come on.
It's not really work. He's just talking about football, Kelly.
That's true.
Work.
That's
it's true. Unbelievable that this is what I do professionally. It's honestly crazy.
You know what the hardest thing I think for you, Eric, is you and Jordan Cornett competing for jacket prowess, sport jacket prowess. That's the hardest thing.
He'll be happy to hear that. I'll spread the word. He'll be happy to hear that.
You know, I love both of you guys. All right, let's go to State's trip to East Carolina. I think Carolina's in a little bit more trouble going up to App, partially because I think that they have some vulnerabilities, Kelly, as you said, on the defensive side of the ball. I don't know what East Carolina's got, but I'm pretty confident I know what State's about. I really like State in this spot. I hope they open it up a little bit. Do you see them ever doing that, Kelly?
Well, I think they will in this game. Mac and I were both, as we're going through picking this game, I think your first inclination when you see NC State ECU and you think of some, not the most recent games, because Dave Doran's actually had a lot of success in the two most recent games against ECU. But if you are a State fan or an ECU fan, you probably think back to 2016 when ECU beat State in Greenville. So that is a concern. That's a rowdy place to go. So I think your first thought is, okay, maybe you take ECU plus the points. But as you look into the game more, you know how good NC State's going to be. ECU was kind of middle of the pack last year in the AAC. I really think NC State's going to handle their business. And this game will tell us a good bit of what we're looking at from a narrative standpoint. Is this NC State team good enough to go win 10 games? Is this a different NC State team? Or are they going to fall into similar traps they have in the past, losing games they shouldn't lose, not living up to the hype? This first game, I think we really get a great test for NC State, if they're going to fall back into that NC State blank that we have heard at times. So I'm excited for this game. I think it does help State, too, that this game is early. It's a noon game. So you don't let ECU get too fired up or intoxicated.
Lubed up.
That's right.
Yeah, you all know what I mean.
I'm with you. And Adam, I think this, man, I think they take care of business. This is a State team that maybe has occurred when you look on paper from a roster standpoint and, you know, expectation standpoint, maybe, you know, two or three times in NC State's history. And I think these guys are going to prove, you know, just how different they are. And the fact that, you know, throw all the history out, we're worried about ourselves. You know, ECU needs to worry about us. We're not worried about anybody but the Wolfpack and doing the things necessary that we do to dominate games. And I think they're going to want to, you know, put that on the national scene very early and in game one. And, you know, like you said, I think we'll see to an extent, you know, them open it up and hopefully they don't have too much, but, you know, I think we'll see Devin push the ball downfield. I think we'll see, you know, a couple of really nice running backs with Big Demi in Houston there that coach loves and thinks a lot of. And I think we see this team just roll, to be quite honest.
All right, a couple of more things before we have to say goodbye to Kelly Gramlich and Eric McLean. the Gramlich and McLean podcast. Episode 199 drops tomorrow. Episode 200 on Monday. And then it's just another 200 from there. you guys are both college football fans. That's what the podcast is basically built on. I think it's really cool because it speaks to the tradition, and we haven't had it for over a decade now. We got West Virginia and Pitt back, the backyard brawl. As a kid growing up in the Northeast, this was one of those games that I loved watching as a kid. It was always on Thanksgiving weekend. It was one of those under-discussed, really good regional rivalries. It's back. It's tonight. Is Pitt anything close to what they were a year ago, Kelly?
I think they're going to be just fine. You look at what they return. They return their entire offensive line. They return Izzy Abanikanda at running back. They return a few really good weapons at wide receiver. Their defensive line is, this is a MAC term, full of werewolves. Baldonado and Kalijah Kancey are both legitimate NFL prospects. So I think Pitt's going to be just fine. I do think, and Mac and I disagree a bit here, again, listen to tomorrow's show.
Right.
But because of the rivalry aspect, even though these players haven't played it, no one has played in this game right. That's in these uniforms. But because of the rivalry aspect, because it's week one, because you've got two new quarterbacks on both sides, both from Southern Cal, which is so weird, I still think it's going to be a lower scoring affair. I actually think West Virginia is going to cover. But I think you're going to leave this game thinking Pitt is definitely the better team. That 7.5 worries me because if Pitt wins by a touchdown, they don't cover. But I think you will leave this game thinking, okay, Pittsburgh's fine. They haven't had much of a drop off, but it's still going to be more of an ugly slugfest is what I think.
Yeah, KG, I think a little bit more highly of Pitt than you in this regard, just because I think they're going to handle business. I really do. This team is stacked, man. And I think they're going to be out to prove that, you know, their team didn't go to, you know, across the hall to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they didn't go out west to California. I think that they're going to really want to make a statement in the fact that, again, this is a rivalry game and that the coaches know, the fans know, the players might not as much, but, you know, they're going to get instantly ingrained, you know, in this thing. And I think Pitt, you know, really puts on a show, flexes their muscles, and, you know, reminds everybody that they're actually the defending ACC champ.
It's not a full moon. So I don't know what that means for the werewolves on, I believe it might even be just I don't know what it's called, a no moon.
That sounds like scientific.
I have no idea what the term is. I couldn't come up with it off the top of my head. Kelly Gramlich, who's on your screen if you're watching this on TV. Eric McLean is on the way to Bristol for all the heavy lifting of work that he has to do this weekend. Episode 199 drops tomorrow. Episode 200 on Monday. It's the Gramlich and McLean podcast. I'm glad we did this. You guys are awesome. We'll probably talk to you guys separately a lot, so I appreciate it.
Let's do it again soon. Thanks.
Thanks, Eric.
Come on, AG.
Take care, Kelly.
Y'all be good.
You too.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19th, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcast. September 1st, man. We're in September.
I know. I actually thought about that today. I was like, oh, wait, I got to pay rent.
What happened to the summer?
Oh, it's still hot enough. You're fine.
Well, I imagine we get summer weather. Like, we'll get that into October, even sometimes even into November.
Yeah,
so that's that. But the summer kids, everybody's back in school now.
Yeah.
Right. All the public schools are back.
By the way, for people who are
traffic sucks,
who don't have like kids or anything, best time to go to the beach. After Labor Day.
Oh, of course. Two weeks after Labor Day.
Wonderful.
We used to rent a house like the 2 weeks after Labor Day in the Outer Banks, and you pay half. Not only do you pay half price to rent the house, but there are probably less than half the people at the beach as well because everybody's back.
Exactly.
It's perfect.
Wonderful.
Perfect. But if you have kids, you can't do that
for a
week after Labor Day. Can you?
No, of course you can't. Not. But that's, again, one of the reasons why if you can, go down afterwards.
All right, let's do an NFL city tour, shall we?
Yes. Going to the banks of the Three Rivers.
Can you knit? What are the Three Rivers? Come on, give it to
me. The Ohio.
Right.
The Allegheny.
And?
I always trouble pronounce this. Monongahela?
Gila. Monongahela. Yes.
Monongahela.
That's the Three Rivers that gave us the Three Rivers Stadium.
Yeah.
Where the Pittsburgh Pirates used to win World Series.
And now, where the Steelers would have immaculate receptions.
That's right. Both multi-use stadium. Oh, what a great ballpark that was.
What a wonderful place.
That and Riverfront Stadium in Cincinnati, which were identical.
Yeah.
The Vet in Philadelphia, which same thing. Have you ever been to the Vet in Philly?
No. I never went to the Vet. I've been to Lincoln Financial.
I'd been to the Vet for a couple things, but a baseball game. It smells... Or smelled. It's dead. It's demolished. Mm. It's the worst smelling ballpark I've ever been in. Although
really?
I've not been in Oakland's Alameda County Stadium, and that place has literally had sewage pouring out of it. I always refer to the Vet as America's largest outdoor facility.
Okay.
Apply whatever you want for that.
All right.
So, what do we got in Pittsburgh? Let's go to Pittsburgh.
All right. Obviously, you got to drink some Iron City beer.
I don't have to.
Yeah, I know you do.
I don't.
Yeah, have you to. Have to. It's local. If you're going to drink Natty Bo's in Baltimore.
I didn't say I would. I didn't say I would.
Mm-hmm.
So, I would not drink in Iron City. And I wouldn't drink a Lone Star in Texas or wherever you get Lone Star.
Yeah, well, it's just,
I actually like...
That sounds depressing.
Lone Star from Spaceballs.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I have a sounder, but actually, no, I don't. Not anymore. Oh,
she's gone from suck to blow.
Thank
there you
very
go.
Much.
You all
only
right.
asked for 25 space bucks for gas, lunch, and tolls.
All right, you have to have Heinz ketchup while you're in there in Pittsburgh. That's where it's based out of.
I understand. It's not Heinz Field anymore, though.
No, it's not. We're not talking the stadium.
Is it Hunt's? See, that's what it would have.
No.
Hunt's.
It's not Hunt's.
Hunt's should have come in and bought it.
God, that place would have rioted.
Hunt's Field.
Place would have rioted. Now, we talked a little bit yesterday. What's the difference between ketchup and catsup? Catsup, I should say.
There's a difference?
There is none.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a pronunciation.
Well, I don't pronounce catsup. Catsup, I would still pronounce it the same way, ketchup.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying there's a different spelling and
Heinz
different pronunciation.
Has that right. And look, I don't think ketchup. There's really any difference between any ketchup brand, but that's fine. I have Heinz
does it best.
I have Heinz in my refrigerator.
As do I.
So
it's the only ketchup I buy.
Yeah, I don't really use a lot of ketchup, but it's fine.
If you ever do, you have the glass bottle, you literally have to use your palm, hit the number 57 on this, the little, it's etched in the side of the bottle, that's
right.
What gets the ketchup to flow
out. Oh, I see. That's it?
That's the
key to
get
it. Do you have
to
hit it 57 times?
No.
Good. We don't have that kind of time.
I wish we did. You got to have Permane Brothers. You have to have Permane. All right. Permane Brothers, here's what a Permane's Brothers sandwich is.
That was the reference.
Oh, yeah, the
joke,
fries.
Right?
Yeah. So it's been around since 1933. So you use Italian bread, meat, melted provolone, tomatoes, fresh-cut fries, and coleslaw all on the sandwich.
The
fries are all on the sandwich. And here's the reason for that. I don't know if you actually know the origin of how this actually came
about.
No, I don't know why. So when steel workers and iron workers...
We didn't have forks.
Roll with me here. So when steel workers and iron workers have very short lunch breaks,
right.
So when you order a sandwich, you didn't have time to have the fries on the side. Because they only really sometimes only have 15 minutes to eat.
Right.
So you just threw the fries on the sandwich. That way you can get the whole meal, eat it all at once.
Oh, yes.
So that's how it all originated.
Why don't they just pour whatever your drink is on the sandwich, too?
I mean, if you want to do that, sure. That's up to you.
I think it's a cool thing.
Yeah.
The fries on the sandwich. I've had fries on a sandwich. I've never been to Permane Brothers.
Mm.
I've never been on the ground in Pittsburgh. I will tell you this.
Really?
Yeah, I've never been
it's
on the ground.
It's a very underrated pretty city.
Yeah. I'd like to go. But I have changed planes in the airport in Pittsburgh. And wherever I was, I think I was on Midway. We don't have Midway anymore, I don't believe. It's probably become something else. But where I changed planes, it smelled like pizza when I got off.
Nice.
And it smelled like good pizza.
Yeah.
And I got very hungry. But I just, that's just an aside. But I'm all aboard Permane Brothers. They have a signature sandwich. Like, this is what you have to get if you go to Permane Brothers.
I mean, that's what it is. You can change up the meat. Like, there's capicola is a big one. Ham and cheese, obviously. There's a Pittsburger. And a pastrami. You love pastrami, okay. So you might like that.
I like pastrami.
The roast beef. So, yeah, it's basically
I would do roast beef. I mean, roast beef, provolone.
Yeah.
Can I get some hot peppers on that?
I mean, I'm sure you can add it to
it.
I'll
do that.
I think, honestly, it's the construction of the sandwich that makes it famous, not necessarily the individual ingredients itself. It's the construction of it. So that's a big thing you have to get while you're there. While you're drinking Iron City beer, you can have Permane Brothers.
I would not do that.
Add some Heinz ketchup with that.
I would drink Heinz ketchup before I would drink Iron City beer.
Prove it.
No.
Prove it. No. You can say you do it. Prove it.
No, before I would drink Iron City beer.
Okay, well, I'm going to bring in a bottle of Heinz for you tomorrow. Neither. And an Iron City beer. I want to put you to the test.
And I will drink neither.
You're no fun. If you actually, speaking of the Allegheny and the Monongahela rivers, there's actually Point State Park. I've actually been to it. So it's actually where the point of where those two rivers meet that flow into the Ohio. There's a state park that's right there with a nice fountain and everything. So definitely worth checking out.
Okay.
Beautiful for pictures and such. And also walk across the bridges and all those things.
I was going to ask you
about
that.
You have to get to walk across the bridges.
Great backdrop in the new Pirates ballpark.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Also, one...
It's a shame the Pirates are terrible.
Well, that's a different...
Like I said yesterday, look, a friend of mine is a huge Pirates fan, and I feel bad because it is a franchise that simply does not try to win.
Yeah.
They do not try.
Because they can collect off the revenue sharing from the rest of the league and not have to pay anybody, and that's how you make your money. But hey, it works out for them. Now, here's something interesting about Pittsburgh when it comes to professional sports teams. There are three major sports teams, the Pirates, the Penguins, and the Steelers, all have the same color scheme.
That's right, except when the Penguins decide they want to wear powder blue.
Well, that's an offhand occasion. But their main colors, which I think are really neat. I think they're the only, well, actually, technically, if you want to say Washington, D.C.'s pro sports teams do the same thing.
Right, because they only have two.
No, you have the Caps, the Wizards, and the... And then Nationals.
Oh, Nationals. Yeah. Yes, you're right.
Because you don't count the Commanders. Because they don't play
I don't
in
count
DC.
The Commandos.
The football
team. I
don't
count team. The Commandos.
The football team. Also, got to go to Rivers Casino.
Do you?
On South Side of Pittsburgh, got to go Rivers.
Very
it's
nice.
A casino. If there's a casino in the city, you have to go.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you go?
They have no hockey. They have no basketball team.
No, they don't.
Even though one of the best basketball movies, The Fish That Ate Pittsburgh, with Dr. J.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good for them. Also, if you're into art, the Carnegie Museum of Art, as well as the Andy Warhol Museum, are located in Pittsburgh.
Is Andy Warhol a Pittsburgher?
I don't know. That's a great question.
He must be if the Andy Warhol Museum is in Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah, the museum is there.
He must be a Pittsburgher.
Let's see. Oh, he's born in Pittsburgh. There you go.
I mean, that just...
There it is.
Made sense. I mean, he... Basically lived in New York City until his death.
Yeah, but there you go, Pittsburgh. There you go. Also, the Carnegie Science Center is also really cool checking out as well. If you actually want to see the city, but at nighttime, but you want to see some of the landmarks, there's actually a ghost tour of the city's landmarks.
A Pittsburgh ghost tour.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So, yeah, definitely go do that as well.
Very nice.
Now, a lot of great foods, Italian food, all over the place in Western Pennsylvania. A lot of Italians live in Western PA. I know, that's where my family's from. But if you want great donuts, a lot of great donut shops.
I'm sure there are great donuts.
A lot of great donut spots.
Right.
Especially Better Made Donuts. Been around since the 50s.
Better Made?
Better Made. M-A-I-D.
Oh, look at that. Mm-hmm. I see what they did there. Very nice. Do you have a specialty, a donut specialty there?
I don't have one from there, no.
All right.
Just get an old-fashioned.
Quality. Quality stuff.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.